will decide your own grade.
I like it.
Next on The Wonder Years.
Students don't respond without grades.
Not.
You like shaking things up, don't you?
Sometimes you gotta shake things up to get things done.
They're not gonna let her get away with this.
And you are?
An abyss of mediocrity. Again, please? I don't think you really understand.
Oh, I don't?
You got a problem.
It's madness.
I like it.
She knows what she's doing.
Any questions?
Can you really do this?
I'm doing it.
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. It's Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. And today I have for you Season 5, Episode 13, entitled... Kodachrome? I don't even know how to pronounce this. I wish I did. I'm sorry if it's wrong. I'm sure it's pronounced another way. But this episode aired on January 29th, 1992. This synopsis comes from, summary comes from IMDb. Kevin's English teacher, Miss Shaw, has some rather unorthodox methods of teaching. While the class enjoys these new methods, they don't sit well with the school board. Yes, because the school board, and it's high school also, so the colleges are going to be looking at GPA, they're going to be looking at your grades. If they're going based on what the students are giving themselves, you know dang well all of them are going to give themselves an A, even if they don't deserve it. So I want to read this Instagram post that I posted about this episode. Next week, we meet another memorable teacher that had a lasting impression and influence on Kevin. In Season 3, Episode 13, Kodachrome, which aired on January 29th, 1992. And the question I asked, did you have any teachers growing up that influenced you in any way or helped shape your future? Now I have the booklet in front of me. It says, the description here is, you know, short. The unconventional Miss Shaw gets in trouble with the school for her unusual teaching methods. The featured song in this episode is Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell, and I have heard of that song. All right, and then I want to read this little thing here. English class. Miss Shaw, McKinley High's non-traditional English teacher, tells her students to close their eyes as she whispers, "The horror, the horror." These are the dying words of Mr. Kurtz, the mysterious protagonist of Joseph Conrad's classic novel, Heart of Darkness. Movie audiences recall Kurtz's line much differently as Marlon Brando delivered it in the 1979 film Apocalypse Now. Based in part on Conrad's novel, that difference is exactly the point that Miss Shaw drives home with her students. There are no right or wrong answers when studying a work of great literature, particularly one such as Heart of Darkness, which has confounded and enlightened readers for over 100 years and inspired numerous interpretations for radio, TV, film, and even opera, with talents such as Orson Welles, Boris Karloff, Roddy McDowell, and John Malkovich. So this is just the little inclusion here in the booklet. I have never read Heart of Darkness, I've never seen Apocalypse Now, and I have no intentions of doing either. But I have had memorable teachers in my time that I will get to later in this episode. Now, I'd like to read this opening quote from the episode from Adult Kevin. It seemed like my high school teachers came in every conceivable shape, size, and style. There were the hopelessly confused, the terminally repetitious, the insufferably boring, but of all the teachers I have ever had, I only ever had one who was a natural. Miss Shaw taught English 2A. She was a year out of graduate school, aren't they all? And there was something about her that was cool. She didn't take attendance. She didn't need to. She let us sit anywhere we wanted, and she never, ever used the word literature. But maybe the most remarkable thing about her was she actually liked what she did. And that is one of the things that makes a good teacher great. That they like their job, that they enjoy what they're doing and the effect that it has on their pupils, their students. That they're there to help guide you. Think about it. Teachers, you have them 9 months out of the year, 5 days a week. And for 8 hours a day. That's 40 days a week. That is a lot of time. If you think about it, you probably see your teachers more than you see your parents out of the year. I mean, sure, you see your parents in the early morning and at evening and then on the weekends. But for Monday through Friday from like 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 3 p.m., you're your teacher's responsibility. And we've seen in past seasons some of the teachers that have come and gone and left an impression on Kevin. You know, there's Miss White / Miss Heimer, Coach Cutlip, Mr. Collins. Mr. Collins definitely left an impression on him. You know, and now he's in high school and he's got a whole new slew of teachers. We just met Miss Farmer. Well, you guys will meet her in the Sex and Economics episode, which will be in June for the Jobs edition. So you'll meet her. Well, some of these teachers, you know, they're cool and all, but it's just the ones that are really the stick in your mind are the ones from seasons like 1 through 4. Because think about it. The basis of the show is 6 seasons long. We've spent seasons 1 through 4 with Kevin in junior high. And we've spent so much time with all of these teachers that now we're getting a new slew of teachers. And Kevin's older. His attitude towards them is a little different. They still have, you know, an impression, you know, a lasting effect. But it just doesn't feel... It's like they were there for him when he was younger, and now that he's older, he's got his driver's license. He's in his junior year. This is sophomore year still. His junior year is season 6. I'm sorry, guys, I'm getting confused. All right, you know what? Let's just get right into this episode. I'm tired of babbling. So, we have Joni Mitchell's song Both Sides Now playing as we get a little montage of the different teachers. We get a math teacher, we get a Spanish teacher, because I remember Kevin took French in junior high. So this guy here's got to be what, a history teacher? All right, now we're getting to Miss Shaw. So I want to play this first clip of Miss Shaw asking Kevin what he thought of the book Heart of Darkness, you know, the character, the author, what the author was trying to come across and everything like that. This teacher is cool. I mean, she's dressed kind of, you know, new age, kind of, you know, with beads and everything and a really nice vest. She's a pretty teacher, and I love how she's gonna just open the minds of students, just asking the questions and having them ponder things. I mean, this classroom looks so comfortable. Randy is there and he's sitting in, I think it's like an armchair or something. It's a really comfortable chair. And, you know, she's having the kids, you know, close their eyes so they can just envision in their mind as she's reading, doing a dramatic reading and everything.
Kevin, what do you think Conrad meant by that? Was seeing his life, and he saw how horrible it was, and he saw the truth, the horror, everyone, is truth. You scare me sometimes, you know that, Kevin?
Yeah, we all felt lucky we got Miss Shaw. Even if some of us didn't get her.
Yes, Felicia. for a midterm? No, Felicia. You need to know that for life.
And the best part was, the woman never failed to surprise you.
Everybody, you know what I have in my hand here? Ivanhoe. 733 pages that the Board of Education requires you read. But I do not. I mean, let's be honest. It's long, it's boring, and it's old. But do me a favor, huh? Take one and keep it around for appearances. You know what I mean? Wait. Are we reading it or not? Not. We're reading this. The Catcher in the Rye. Does the administration know we're doing this? Not unless they find out. But what if they do? Well, then, we'll just have to take our chances, won't we?
And that was what was different about Miss Shaw.
Hey, take one of each before you go.
Yeah. She took chances.
And enjoy it. And remember, they're your parents. They can't help it.
In a word...
So, this girl, Felicia, is just asking this questions upon questions, and Miss Shaw just takes it in stride. It's like, she's polite, she doesn't get angry with her, she just answers her questions point blank and everything, and of course, Kevin's rolling his eyes. You know, the administration wants the kids to read Ivanhoe, and she says... I'm not going to have you do that. This book is over 700 pages long. It's boring. It's old. It's like the kids aren't going to be able to relate to that, right? So she's like, just keep the book around for appearances. Of course, Felicia is like, oh, so are we reading it or not? And Miss Shaw's like, not. So she says, what I am going to have you guys read is The Catcher in the Rye. This book, I actually have a copy. I've had it for probably over 10 years. Have not read it yet. It's a short book. This book was also featured in an episode of Full House. I believe it was season 6 or 7, maybe 6, where Jesse was Uncle Jesse was going to night school. He had to read it. Steve had to read the book for a for his English class. Mind you, this book is probably under 200 pages. It is not a long book. Yet, they decide to split it up and one reads, Jesse reads the back half, Steve reads the beginning, and then they meet in the middle and they fill each other in. Stupid idea. Stupid, stupid idea. Another thing, Frank McCourt, he wrote Angela's Ashes about his life in Ireland. And then in Tis, the sequel, he wrote coming to New York. He was actually born in New York, but he came back to America when he was 19, went to college, became a teacher, and he did actually have the kids read Catcher in the Rye. However, the administration caught on to it. He, like, had the kids, like, pay for him to get the books for them. That way he was able to afford lunch and everything like that. But, of course, one of the kids' parents, like, found out they were reading it and raised holy hell with the school board. And they came in and said, no, you're not teaching this to the kids. Holden Caulfield is the main protagonist of the story The Catcher in the Rye. I believe he was kicked out of a boarding school. I'm just trying to go from what I know about it. He's depressed. I don't know. He might be suicidal. I think there's controversy about the language. The fact that he has a prostitute in his hotel room, although they never do anything. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read the book. But I think I like that the teacher's approach is these older works of fiction, kids cannot relate to them. So they're like, let's give them a book that they can relate to. That's why I'm so happy that kids today, teenagers, have such a wide variety of young adult books. When I was a teenager back in like the mid to late 90s, there wasn't even remotely close to the amount of young adult fiction. I don't even know if it was referred to as young adult fiction when I was a teenager. It was just teen books. And the library I went to in Lowell, the town I grew up in, was small. There was like maybe one small row of teen books. And a lot of it was stuff that was, of course, published, you know, probably in the 90s and stuff like that. So, you know, Judy Blume's Forever was a real eye-opener book to me on sexuality and teenagers and everything like that. Another one I really liked, The Wind Blows Backwards by Mary Dawning Hahn, that deals with suicide and the death of a parent and stuff. It's really, really good. I actually, when I worked at Goodwill, I did manage to get somebody to buy the book that had come in used for a buck. I had it at the register, and a guy and his friends had kind of come up, and they're like, oh, what's this book? And I just love the book so much, and I'm just, oh, you gotta read this. You know what? Let me see if I got it, and I will read the inside of it real quick for you. See if you guys can find it, because the book came out in, like, the early 90s. All right, I want to read this real quick, the inside flap. The Wind Blows Backward, Mary Dawning Hahn is the author. We get a little snippet here. Before I realized what he was doing, Spencer grabbed my hand. Can we be friends, Lauren? Can we talk like we used to? His grip was so tight my hand hurt. Not just Middle Earth and time travel and poetry. Other things. Things nobody knows. Nobody understands. Stuff I've never told anyone. Stuff that's just eating me up inside. In eighth grade, Spencer was Lauren's friend, but when they entered high school, he threw himself into sports and surrounded himself with new friends, the very people who'd made Lauren's life miserable in middle school. Senior year, a chance meeting gives Spencer the opportunity to break the years of silence. To Lauren's surprise, he reveals his unhappiness and the sense of isolation. Once again, their affinity for each other draws them together, ready to fall in love with the intensity they never imagined when they were younger. As she learns more about Spencer, Lauren is alarmed by his dark moods and reckless behavior. After he describes a terrible incident from his childhood, the two of them spend the night together. Lauren tries to convince herself she can make Spencer happy by loving him, but his inability to control his powerful emotions finally forces her to realize love isn't enough. If he is to survive, Spencer must stop running and face the man who haunts his dreams. This is such a good book. This actually was the book that I read that did have a sex scene in it between Spencer and Lauren. There was a mention of a condom, so they did have safe sex. As an adult, you know, I'm 35 going on 36. I still enjoy reading young adult books. Some books that I really, deal with hard-hitting issues that I love, Ellen Hopkins. She has got an amazing catalog of books that just deal with so much. And I'm not going to go into them right now. We need to get back into this episode. But seriously, I love teachers that help promote literacy, you know, that encourage children to read, to have imaginations and everything. Just to, you know, put down the screen for a minute and just... And you know what? Audible, I'm not sponsored by Audible. I listen to it at work, and let me tell you, it makes getting through really big books a breeze. It really, really does. My Sarah J. Maas books, I'm still working through The Throne of Glass. I've been on the fourth book for over a year and a half now, and I'm just going to get the books on Audible. These books are like 700 pages, easily well over 10 hours or more. Okay. Plus, it makes people that don't want to pick up a book just listen to a book, you know? But let's get back into this episode. I apologize if I dragged on too long. Polly's back! He is looking so cute. I love that, you know, his glasses are gone. I mean, he looked all right with the glasses, but the fact that he doesn't have them, oh my goodness. Anyway, they're in the hallway. Kevin cannot get his locker open, and there's Paul. He's got him. What is that? There is a little bumper sticker thing in Paul's locker that says, "Make love, not children." Is that a quote from somebody? I mean, they are coming off the cusp of 1969, where there's a lot of, you know, the free love movement and everything. I mean, that probably did go into the 70s a bit. All right, I'm going to play this clip. This is irritating. No wonder Kevin can't get his damn locker open. They changed the combinations over the weekend. Why? Was somebody breaking into lockers? Was it a security issue? There's no reason to do that. And why didn't they say something or do an announcement? I mean, that's crap. I'd be pissed. I am pissed. And I don't even go to this high school. I don't even go to high school, period. Kevin's got enough grief in his life and complaining about stuff.
She opened doors.
I can't get my locker open.
New combinations. They changed them over the weekend. Security problems.
Well, I have to get my books.
Maybe you should talk to Windsor.
Excuse me.
Unfortunately, in high school, opening doors is no easy task.
I can't get into my locker. Do you have a key?
Yeah.
Great.
Need a 29C, though.
A 29C?
Security authorization form.
Oh, of course. A 29C.
You can get one at the administration. Between 12 and 2.
Yeah, but I have to get in my locker now.
Well, then, you got a problem.
Well, that's what I told you.
Obviously, I was dealing here with strictly middle management. What I needed was Dr. Valenti, our principal, the top dog.
Excuse me, sir.
And you are?
Kevin Arnold.
Aren't you a little late for class there, Kevin Arnold?
Well, see, that's the problem. I can't open my locker.
Oh, well, I'll fix that right up.
Finally, a man who could cut through the red tape. A guy who could make things happen. A mover, a shaker.
Dr. Linzer. Good meeting you, son. Glad I can help.
The horror.
So Paul advises him to talk to Linzer, who is the custodian or maintenance guy. And he's like, hey, I got to get into my locker. I have an issue. And then all the guy really is like, you need a 29C form, which you can get between the hours of 12 and 2. In the office, and Kevin's like, I need to get my books, though. What the hell? That is so inconvenient. So Kevin's like, hey, maybe I'll talk here to the big cheese, the principal and everything like that. And the principal's just kind of, that is a problem. Let's see. Oh, here, talk to Mr. Windsor here. See ya. Glad I could help you out. What? I just talked to him. No. Oh, damn. So we move to the next scene, and kids are, it's gotta be springtime now. We're like, what, halfway through season 5, so this has gotta be spring. It's, well, it's California, too, so of course it's gonna be comfortable. You can sit outside on the grass and have class outside. I don't think I had class outside ever. I might have once, but in high school, but I can't remember. So I'd like to play this clip where she has an open discussion on the book The Catcher in the Rye, just asking why Holden Caulfield was the way he was, and just kind of, you know, lets the kids kind of give their own interpretation of how they took it.
But if school was the heart of darkness, then English 2A was a ray of sunshine.
So why do you think Holden ended up in a mental hospital?
Obviously Holden Caulfield has a problem perceiving reality as it is.
Well, because he's nuts.
He's not nuts. He just couldn't put up with the system.
The system stinks.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like school.
Well, that's certainly one way to look at it.
That was the great thing about Miss Shaw. You never had to worry about anything you said in her class. Everything was up for grabs.
Any other questions? Comments?
And I mean everything.
Anyone? Yes, Felicia. Are you going to tell us our midterm grades before you record them? wouldn't worry about grades if I were you, Felicia. I only give two. Pass and no pass.
Again, please?
I said pass and no pass.
Pass and no pass. It was amazing, a groundbreaking concept, and we reacted as any 10th grade class would.
Oh, my dad gives me a buck for every A.
But what will happen to my grade point average?
You mean I'm not going to get an F?
With total confusion.
This isn't a math class. There are no right or wrong answers here. Only thought. And you can't grade thought. Besides, it doesn't matter what I think about you. It matters what you think about me.
So, with those words, we set out to make history. With one reservation.
Can you really do this?
I'm doing it.
So the question she asks is, why do you think that Holden Caulfield ended up in a mental hospital? She doesn't say institution, she doesn't say psychiatric hospital, she says mental institution. So this one boy who is clearly dressed like a brainiac, nerdish, I'm sorry to offend anybody, gives a typical, you know, stereotypical answer of, that Holden has a problem perceiving reality from fantasy. And Ricky, of course, gives a typical answer like, oh, he's nuts. And Kevin kind of defends the thing. No, he wasn't nuts. He probably had a psychotic breakdown. Or a breakdown where everything got to be too much for him. He couldn't take it anymore. And with the thoughts of possible suicide and stuff. And I believe, you know, drug and alcohol abuse, and he just needed to get help. He needed the help to be able to hopefully one day function among others in society. And Kevin said he's not nuts, he just couldn't handle putting up with the system. And of course we get a hippie with the glasses in the back like, shit, system sucks, man. Sucks. Well, buddy, you know what? You're not far off. It's not any better in 2018. I'll tell you that much right now. Things suck. They're not good. I don't know. Maybe one day they'll get better, but that's just me hoping. So that's what Kevin says. You know, that's the thing about Michelle. You really didn't have to worry. It was an open dialogue. You could speak freely without worrying about being persecuted or yelled at or reprimanded or anything. And this is where she brings up the whole fact of, because Felicia's got a question about the grades, the midterm, and Michelle's like, you don't need to worry about that. The only two grades they give out are pass or fail. That's it. And of course, Randy's like, well, my dad gives me a buck for every A I get. And then, of course, Ricky's excited because he's like, well, then I won't fail. And then, you know, Felicia's worried about her GPA. It's like, yeah, they're sophomores in high school. They got to work on that GPA to get into the best colleges and whether or not how this will be perceived. So I can understand why the faculty, the administration might have an issue with this. I mean, it's great to incorporate new ideas into teaching. That's really wonderful. Of course, you know, those got sometimes do have to be met with the guidelines of how the school runs things. It's not always right, it's not always agreeable, but, you know, those are the standards of things that we live in, I guess. So Kevin even asked, like, can you do this? And she's like, I'm doing it, it's done. And we get a report card from Kevin as Jack is like, what is a P? What does this mean? I see A's, I see B's, I see C's and C's. So what's the P for? Does everybody remember in elementary school when you didn't really get grades? You got like S for satisfactory or N for not satisfactory? So Norma, of course, is like, honey, I think that means pass. And he's like, yeah, I can see that. But where the hell is your grade at? We get that you passed the class, but you don't have a letter grade. And this is where Kevin's like, well, Miss Shaw doesn't believe in that kind of thing. She's got her own system. I'd be like, just, Jack, treat it like it's an A, okay? Pass means A, not pass means F. So as Kevin's trying to explain, Norma actually says this is how they're doing things at the university, because she's actually taking classes there. So that's really interesting. I like that. It's simple. You either pass or you fail. I think think most school, I think schools should do that. Why should kids have to be busting their ass just to get a specific letter grade? I'd say you do the work, you put in the effort, you get a pass. You don't do the work, you don't put in the effort, you don't pass. Simple, simple, simple. I'm going to play this clip.
P. What the hell's a P?
Oh, I think it means pass, honey.
I can see it means pass. What I mean is, where is this grade?
Well, you see, then Miss Shaw does. You know, Jack, they're starting to do this in a lot of the courses at the university.
Great. When he goes to a university on his own money, he can get a P. As long as I'm paying taxes, I want to see a grade.
Seems this plan wasn't playing so well in the hinterlands.
Dad, I don't think you really understand.
Oh, I don't?
Well, I mean, this isn't a math class. There are no right or wrong answers. I mean, you can't grade people's thoughts. Or society would turn into an abyss of mediocrity. Well, besides, it doesn't even matter what you think of me. It only matters what I think of me.
There. Philosophically speaking, you couldn't argue with that.
As long as you're living under my roof, you damn well better care what I think of you.
Right.
So much for philosophy.
So, Norma mentions how they're doing the pass-fail thing at the university, and Jack, of course, is like, fine. When he goes to the university on his own dime, meaning I'm not paying for it, then he can get passes, you know, P's and F's and whatever. But while he's living in this house, he's gonna get A's, B's, you know, letter grade, actual grade grades. And then, of course, Kevin is, you know, spouting some stuff that Miss Shaw is kind of putting in his head. You know, it's not bad. But, of course, you know, his dad is not going to see it that way. And he's like, you know, Kevin says, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks of me. It matters what I think of me. And Jack's like, well, as long as you live under my roof, you better damn well care about what I think. As in, my opinion matters, the only one that really matters while you live here. I love how Jack just kind of flings the report card back at Kevin, like, here you go. Don't care anymore. Subject's closed. And Wayne's sitting next to Kevin, he's like, he puts a hand on Kevin's hand, like, I think you're swell. Like, he's being sarcastic! And you heard it in the clip, it was just funny. So now we move back to school the next day, and Kevin approaches Miss Shaw. So, yeah, Kevin's coming down the steps. Miss Shaw is there. She's got she is loaded down with books and papers that are almost spilling out of her hands. And Kevin, nice enough, you know, he offers to give her a hand carrying some of that stuff, you know, lighten the load. So I'm going to play this clip here as Kevin kind of talks to Miss Shaw, you know, regarding his report card. And, you know, his dad wasn't too happy about the P's that he was... It's fun that he's passing, but he wants to see actual letter grades.
What I needed was a little clarification.
Kevin, give me a hand with these, won't you?
Where are they?
Attendance reports. Drag, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I was just wondering if I could talk to you about
your report card?
Yeah.
You see, you didn't go over too well on the home front, right?
Right.
And you're not exactly sure why we're doing this, hmm? You're not the first person who's come to me.
Oh. So why'd you do it?
Why not?
Excuse me, Miss Shaw. May I speak with you for a moment?
Yes, Dr. Valenti.
I think we have to talk about your grading system.
Yes?
Well, we don't do this here.
You mean we haven't done this here?
Miss Shaw, students don't respond without grades.
But my students are responding just fine.
Why don't we discuss this in my office?
Why not?
And there you had it.
Catch you in class, Kevin.
So much for the great leap forward of 1972.
So, as she and Kevin are kind of talking about the whole grading system, the principal comes up, and he has to speak with her, and he's like, you know, I don't know what you did prior to coming here, but this grading system of yours, that's just not how we do things here. We don't fly this way. And, of course, he notices Kevin there, so he's like, perhaps we should discuss this in my office. And, of course, you know, she's like, well, what else can she do? That's her boss, you know, she has to do it. So she just looks at Kevin, kind of like, yep. Nobody's ready for change, I guess. You know, it's always... I honestly think that if it's having a positive effect on the students, like, say they're doing a lot better, their grades are improving everything, I say keep it. I mean, I know that's not how the system works, so you got guidelines and procedures and all that stuff, but if she can have a positive effect and make these kids want to learn, like, they are enjoying it. She's treating them not, like, she's not talking down to them. She's just talking to them almost like they're her peers. You know, she's talking to them like they're going to be adults soon in another couple of years. So, these kids have been, you know, talked to as children for the majority of their life. So, if you talk to them in a way that they can understand, I think things will go a lot better. So, Kevin's in English class. He's kind of waiting for Miss Shaw to come in. And just pretty much he thinks, yeah, it's going to be bad news because she had to talk with the principal. So,
before we dig in, I'd like to tell you about a very interesting conversation I had with Dr. Valenti this morning. Or rather, one he had with me. I was informed that I had broken several important school regulations. Now, according to policy, it is required that each of you receive a traditional grade. So, therefore, I have decided that all of you will be getting traditional grades.
Mom, there goes my P.
I couldn't believe it.
With one little wrinkle. For your next report cards, each of you will decide your own grade. Any comments?
And of course, we had only one.
So as you heard in the clip, she had a conversation, well, more like the principal, who's a doctor, so he's got a PhD, okay? He tells her, you have to change, you have to go by the procedures, the guidelines that we set out for you. They have to have specific traditional letter grades. And she says, we're going to go back to that, but here's a little wrinkle, as she calls it. You, for the next report card that comes out, you get to choose your letter grade. And of course, all the kids erupt in, you know, excitement. They're like, yes, sweet. Oh my God, I'm so getting an A. I'm giving myself an A. There are so many things that could go wrong. I think, in a way, it's like you give yourself what you feel you deserve, but I will also give you what I feel you know, based on your work and everything. And I mean, I think that's how she should do it. Like, yes, you can grade yourself, but I will also be looking at your work and seeing, you know, giving you my grade and then overall what that grade comes out to. So, you know, like a curve or something like that, I would think. So, it's interesting. I mean, she knows in a way that could backfire. I mean, she knows that. You know, every kid's going to want to give themselves an A, regardless of the amount of work and effort they put into this curriculum. So in the next scene, the kids are all having class outside. They're lounging. They're having a great time. They're just relaxing. One person's chilling, relaxed on the park bench there. And people are just sprawled out. Having a grand time. Love this class. They love this class. And Kevin says, you know, instead of lectures, they had discussions. Like, yes, open up a discussion for the kids to be able to, you know, let their ideas flow. And, I mean, that's amazing, you know, argue and everything what your classmates have, you know, let out what you're feeling and thinking and everything. In a regular classroom setting, it's so structured that they want regular answers. They don't want you to speak your mind. They want correct answers. But at least with this class, you know, she's giving them the freedom and treating them like soon-to-be adults. I would love this class. She is so inspiring. She is not negative in any way. And it's kind of, you know, Kevin's narrating this and everything like that, and one of the brainy boy, the boy with the glasses, you kind of hear a little bit of what he's saying, something about not living up to others' expectations, and that's, yes, I agree wholeheartedly with that. You have one life to live in this world. Do not set that bar based on what other people expect of you. If you live your life according to what other people want, in my mind, that's not really living. That's not really living. You're living your life how they think, how they see that you should be. Like, no. It's like, they have their own life. You have your own life. You have your own decisions, your own choices to make. So, of course, while she's conducting this class and everything, the principal is kind of just watching this and everything, and of course he's probably going to be like, no, you need to have class inside. I mean, he's not Diperna stickler. He's not a stickler like that, but I think he's a little unsettled that her methods are kind of teaching are a little bit controversial and not those of a traditional teacher. All right, now we're moving to gym class, and we got that dang rope. Oh, my God. I don't think I ever had to do that in school. I really don't think I had to. Can you imagine the rope burn and everything? In my mind, I think if they probably have gloves, like synthetic like type of gloves for that kind of stuff. I mean, if they got gloves for like rock climbing and stuff like that, then they should have gloves for, you know, climbing a rope. All right, let's hear what Paul has to say on this whole matter. I didn't think he was in that class. Or he might be in that class, just a different hour.
What a crock.
Not that all the discourse was positive.
I can't believe she's letting you bozos choose your own grades. We're not. We're responsible students. Oh, is that so? What are you going to give yourselves?
Gee, let me see. I think I'll give myself an A.
I know it. It's madness.
Okay, A plus.
Apparently, opinion on this question was divided into two camps. The revolutionaries and the slugs.
Come on, Paul, admit it. You're jealous. No, I'm not. I don't think it's fair, that's all.
To who?
To whom?
Sorry.
I mean, what if every teacher did something like this?
Well,
he's right. To ruin the curve. You get a B.
Still, it was clear this was one issue that wasn't gonna just disappear.
They're not gonna let her get away with this, you know.
Who's not?
The school. The administration.
Come on, get off it. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, which is?
So, Paul, I guess he does not take that class, and he, of course, has reservations about it. He's like, this is a crock of garbage. You know, he's like, yeah, of course you bozos are all going to give yourself A's. And he just, like, he also brings up, but Kevin would understand, like, yeah, of course the administration is going to, they're going to kind of come down on that whole thing. I mean, Kevin would have to realize that. There's going to be opposition there. You know, you can make your own rules, but it's whether or not you're going to be able to I mean, you can do what you want within, you know, the proper guidelines. And Kevin is even, you know, he's going to speak to Miss Shaw. I mean, he thinks probably she doesn't know, like, oh, you know, is this really allowed? Can you do this? So, I'm going to play this clip.
Miss Shaw?
Obviously, I needed more clarification.
You got a minute?
My time is your time. What's on your mind?
Well, it's about, you know,
the grades.
Yeah. You see, people are talking about it, and
they just can't believe I let a bunch of bozos like you handle something like that.
What, was this woman clairvoyant?
Yeah. Well, it is kind of different, you know.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. Except we can't all get A's, right?
I see. And is that what you're going to give yourself? Really?
No. I guess not.
Big decision, right? Makes you think, and that's good. My guess is, when the time comes, I'm gonna have to beg you guys to break even with the C's.
And that's when I realized she had more than a lesson plan. She had a whole concept.
Tell you what. Let's go get a cup of coffee. Talk it over.
Sure.
So, she pretty much says, you know, you guys can give you yourselves the grades you want, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to be giving you the grades I feel you deserve, and we'll kind of, you know, combine them to whatever it averages out to. You know, Kevin, I mean, she's pretty much got an answer for everything that Kevin's thrown at her. And he's just like thinking, wow, she's clairvoyant, because every worry he has, she pretty much knows what it is, and she's like, she's got an answer for it, and it's just like, Kev, she speaks teenager, she knows what you get, she was once her, in the same situation as being a student, like, probably 4 years ago, so, she's still relatively young, so she's been there, she knows what it's like, that's how she understands where you're coming from. I think that is good in a way that they're young so they can, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. Hold on. I gotta think of this word. Relate. That's it. So she can kind of relate to them on their level. She's not, like I said, she's not talking down to them. She's talking to them point blank as they should be talked to. But she's giving them pretty much a clear, open pictures, and you know, that's, you know, the choice you make and everything like that, like, whatever. Anyway, she does invite him, like, hey, let's go out for coffee, we can talk some more about this. She's just really, she's opening his eyes to what the world has to offer, and just, you know, thinking for yourself, and all that stuff, and really, like, challenging your own thoughts. Like, just don't go based on what you read and everything like that. Like, search, like, more broader, I guess, with your thinking. Just reach farther out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Don't be limited to just that small circle of, you know, what a schoolroom teaches you. But, like, push your mind out there and really, I mean, Kevin's at that age, like I said, he's at that age, he's going to be graduating in a couple years, and he's going to be out in the real world, and she's just kind of giving him, you know, a taste of, you know, opening his mind and everything to new ideas, and, you know, form your own opinions.
That afternoon, a couple of things happened.
Thanks.
I had my first cappuccino.
How is it? I'm making good here.
And I got to know Miss Shaw.
So what do you think?
Huh?
About the class. What do you think?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
for hours about football and dating, and of course about books.
My dad gave me a copy of The Red Mask once, and I thought I'd never read a book like it. It was like falling into another world. I didn't even want to come up for air, and I read it over and over until I broke the spine. My dad had to just keep taping it.
And the amazing part was, it was never boring.
Want another? Oh, I'm good.
The thing is, I'd never met anyone who was so right for what she did. A woman with a gift.
It's really
a natural.
So, you know, he has his first cappuccino, and of course she does a little thing with her finger, you know, near her nose, like, you got a little on your lip there, you know, and, you know, they talk about everything, you know, dating, football, just literature, and it's so great, like, he's having a conversation with an adult who's not talking to him like a teenager. That's gotta be really, really a great feeling to be able to have an open dialogue with somebody who like that. Because if you think about it, he can learn quite a bit from her. She's been out in the real world for 4 years. She's gone to college and everything like that. So she can just, you know, give him a heads up. Like, hey, here's what maybe you can expect a little of, you know, this and everything like that. So Kevin's just kind of hanging out on his bed, popping the football up in the air and catching it and everything like that, and just contemplating just all of the stuff that he's learned. So he mentions he had a total of 3 cappuccinos. Like, yeah, you probably do got a little bit of a caffeine buzz going there, buddy. So while on that caffeine buzz, Kevin decides to pick up that copy of Ivanhoe. Is he going to read it? Maybe. Yeah, Kevin opens that book, and that print is really, really small. Oh my god. It's like small to the point of mass market paperbacks, where the print is so small you gotta squint just to read it and it hurts your eyes. Maybe that's just me. So the next day in class, the principal, I don't know his name, comes in, asks to speak to Miss Shaw. She's like, but I'm in the middle of the class. He's like, oh, this will just take a minute. Yeah, he's gonna let her go. He's gonna terminate her. This sucks. This really, really sucks. Just because she's a teacher and doesn't want to adhere to the confines of the curriculum, come on. You gotta have a little bit of breathing room for change. So before she heads out to speak to the principal, she looks at the class and says, while I'm gone, why don't you guys write a paragraph about whatever's on your mind? Just Felicia, of course. Dum-dum. He's like, oh, what should it be about? Sweetie, she just said whatever's on your mind, okay? Make something up. I don't care. Randy is loving that recliner or whatever that comfy seat is back there. He is, like, asleep.
Okay, everybody, turn in your papers. I can see genius has been burning. I'll really enjoy reading these. Well, I guess there's no sense in keeping you in the dark, so here goes. Dr. Valenti and I had a talk. Seems he got a call from the school board. So he set me down and explained that from now on I must follow state guidelines as they pertain to curriculum, grading, the whole thing. His arguments were well thought out and reasonable, and he left it up to me to decide what I wanted to do.
And the way she said it, we all knew what it meant. A fight to the finish between Miss Shaw and the system. A battle of right versus might.
So I've decided. This is my last day.
thanks.
She was teaching a class the next minute.
Where are you going?
Sorry, Kevin. I have to do this.
You can't just leave, can you?
I'm afraid they didn't give me a choice.
Well, look, if it's about the grades, that doesn't matter. They give us grades. It's okay.
It's not just the grades.
Well, then if it's Ivanhoe, hey, I already read it.
Kevin, it's really very simple. I'm a teacher, but they don't want me to teach. Not the way I can. So I won't.
And then she said something I'll never forget.
It's just not worth it.
Not worth it?
And even though I'd heard it, I just couldn't believe my ears.
It's not worth it.
I know you understand, don't you?
Of course, maybe I should have. About the hassles, about the frustrations. But all I could think of was she was walking out on us.
What's she doing?
She's sticking it to plenty, that's what she's doing.
Right on.
Kind of a celebration. They were celebrating youth, enthusiasm, idealism. They were cheering for the best and the brightest. Only they didn't know what I knew then. But they found out.
The hero, as defined in Aristotle's Poetics, is a man not preeminently virtuous or just, but through some great...
I guess in the end, Miss Shaw did what was best for her. After all, no compromises, no regrets. The only thing is, she didn't do what was best for us.
Whom, however, succumbs to great misfortune.
But even today, I don't know who to be angry at.
Random
her? Or the system that drove her away.
All right, so as you heard in the clip, she decides to resign. And she says, you know, this will be my last day. She walks out. Kevin heads out to kind of, kind of confront her a little bit, like, why are you doing this? And, you know, if it's about the grades, just give us letter grades. If it's about Ivanhoe, I mean, I read it already. He doesn't, you know, none of the kids want her to leave. She's a teacher that inspired them. And she says, you know, the principal, the school board, they didn't give me a choice in this. You know, I want to teach, but they don't want me to teach in the way that I want to teach. In a way that she can reach the kids through these methods. And, you know, Kevin's hurt. It's like, you can't just leave. I mean, what about us? And, you know, it's up to her. It's her, you know, if she can't teach how she wants to teach, well, she's going to find a place that she can. She's not gonna, you know, adhere by what the school board wants, then Kevin's gonna, and they do, they get stuck with a boring-ass fucking droning monotone English teacher, which sucks, but Kevin's not the only one that comes out to see her off as she drives away. You know, all of the kids are like, yes, right on, Miss Shaw. Stick it to the school system. Seriously. That is a lesson learned, kids. Alright? If your methods are what you want to do are above what, you know, the rules, then find a place that's going to let you do that. School, they have the way of how they do things. They're not going to bend. Yeah. It's sad, you know, you know, and I did say, you know, after the episode, I would talk about some of the teachers that I had that, you know, have left a lasting impression on me. One of them, he was my, excuse me, my second and third grade teacher, and he went on to eventually become a principal of an elementary school, and then from there he moved on to be a superintendent of a different city, so he's moved up. But I was lucky enough to be in his first year of teaching, and it was, you know, my class was a small class. It was special ed, so there's probably about maybe 12 kids, maybe less, two grades, you know, second and third, and then I had him again for, I had him for second grade, and then the following year I had him for third grade. This was in 1990 and 1991, and... You know, he was a great teacher. He just was there when you needed to talk to someone. He helped boost my self-confidence and everything like that. He also had, you know, pool parties at his house at the end of the summer, which were awesome. And this guy has given back so much to his community and everything. It's just... You know, when he started teaching back in 1990, he was fresh out of college, like 24, 26 years old, newly married and everything like that. And it was cool, you know, we'd have movie days and stuff like that. And he really pushed me to be able to apply myself. And sometimes when I break down and cry in frustration, and one time I remember he like kind of held me in front of a mirror, and you know, I was upset and everything. It's like, take a look at this person and everything. Tell me what you see, because I see something more here. It's very, very inspiring. Another teacher's aide, who I met in first grade, who I would later meet again in fourth grade, and then again when I got to high school. She's been there for me in so many ways. I still talk to her at least once a year. I call her up and, you know, talk and everything. And, you know, both she and my teacher from second and third grade, they knew my family history. They knew the difficulties with my mother and her sickness, and they really helped me out. Another teacher I had took me out to celebrate me getting my license. She also helped with the flower arrangements for my wedding and everything like that. And let me tell you, those teachers, that they're there for you when you need someone to talk to, and you still, you know, they're the ones you still can say, hey, how's it going, when you're have graduated from high school and you're an adult on your own and everything. And it's just, it's amazing, these even when you give up on yourself, they never ever give up on you. And they help point you in the right direction when you've fallen. When you've, you know, you take one step forward and two steps back. They're there to help push you forward and steer you in the right direction and encourage you when you want to give up. That is what a teacher is. They open your mind to all of the possibilities and make you really work towards, you know, in a way, in becoming the person, you know, the person that you're meant to be. And they're there. They're like, basically, teachers, if you think about it, they're like a second parent, almost. They get you 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. They're like your second parent. It's sad that, you know, not all teachers are like that. I know that. I've had some that haven't been exactly the nicest, but I will always remember the ones that had the most impact and influence and just were there for me when I needed them. And that, in my mind, that's a teacher. That is a teacher. The one that goes above and beyond. That almost loves you as much as your own parents. I meant as far as a teacher would care for a student. That's what I'm referring to. So, as far as a wonderful... I'm going to tie all that into my Wonderling words of wisdom when it comes to teachers and everything. As far as the Wonder Your Flower Power Petal episode rating, I'm going to give this one... I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. What I liked seeing Paul. I liked seeing Wayne and, you know, Dad, you know, with the whole thing with the grades and everything. I loved Miss Shaw. Everything about her, just her influence on Kevin, and just talking to the kids, not like they're teenagers, but talking to them like they want to be talked to, like young adults that are ready to face the world, and opening their eyes to just being more, you know, challenging things and not taking everything at face value and everything like that, and just seeing that there's more outside in the world, and just to be the best that you can be. What I didn't like, I didn't like the fact that they changed the combinations over the weekend without a real reason. The fact that Kevin even had to ask, and yet Paul knew, like, no, there should have been a reason as to why they did that. And that janitor was zero help. Also, the principal, I guess I can't really fault him for wanting to go by the guidelines of how, you know, the curriculum and everything like that. But I didn't like it. I didn't like it. He's not bad like DiPerna. He's not bad like DiPerna. DiPerna was a fucking asshole. We all know that. But this guy actually is, I think he played George Costanza's, like, one of his bosses on Seinfeld. I thought, you know, he was familiar. Alright, let's talk about the next episode for next Friday, Season 5, Episode 14, entitled Private Butthead, which aired on February 5th, 1992. Wayne goes to take his SATs, but shocks his family when he decides to try and join the Army instead. With the Vietnam War still going on, the Arnolds are afraid that Wayne could be shipped off and into the war. This is definitely a Wayne episode. It's nice once in a while that, you know, Karen gets her episodes. You know, her episodes usually focus around her and Jack. Every once in a while, we rarely get a Wayne-featured episode. So, this is going to be good. This episode was directed by Nick Marck. I wonder if he's done other episodes of The Wonder Years. Has he? He directed six episodes. He directed The Unnatural, The Cost of Living, The Sixth Man, Buster, and The Wonder Years Clip Show, and Private Butthead. All right, let's say hey to some Wonderling listeners for the week. All right, we have Saudi Arabia, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Whittier, California, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Central District, Hong Kong, Roebling, New Jersey, Moscow, Russian Federation, Mountain View, California, St. Petersburg, Florida, Bakersfield, California, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Louisville, Kentucky, Bloomsbury, United Kingdom, Port Said, Egypt, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, Centerville, Maryland, Pakistan, Cornell, Australia, Brighton, Michigan, Portugal, Millville, New Jersey, Minnetonka, Minnesota, Los Angeles, California, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Sarasota, Florida, Graysonville, Maryland, Twinsburg, Ohio, Evergreen Park, Illinois, San Diego, California, and Santa Maria, California. All right, everyone, I look forward to talking again about Wayne's episode next week. It's sad. It is sad. We get to see a rare moment between Jack and Wayne. We really don't get to see them together too much. Unless it's like at the dinner table with everybody else. Yeah. So, also, I just put up the first Kevin Jobs edition since it's June 1st. The episode was The Cost of Living. The episode for next week is, excuse me, The hardware store, after that, it's going to be, that's from season 5. The next one, season 6, Sex and Economics. And then the last one is going to be from season 6 called Kevin Delivers. So look forward to those coming out alongside other episodes of season 5. Also coming up in June on the 21st, we have season 3 up. I cannot talk. Season 6, episode 21, which is entitled Summer. I'm doing that in honor of the first day of summer. And then in July, the 4th of July is going to be the series finale, even though I'm still almost done with season 5. So, all right, guys, have a wonderful weekend. I will be back. You'll be back here next Friday. Bye-bye.
What'd you do? Murder someone?
You're next.
Next on the Wonder Years.
We just skipped school.
You skipped school?
This is going to go on your permanent record.
I just cut my nose with this paperclip.
Wayne's a smart kid. He stopped acting so dumb.
You have to concentrate or you're never going to be ready for your SATs.
About the test. We didn't take it.
You guys were kidding, right?
We did something a little better.
A lot better.
Wayne, what did you do?
We talked it over and we joined the...